May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, I hope you all had a very good Easter last weekend. In my home, there was the traditional roast lamb, Christmas pudding and chocolate eggs to prove that Easter had arrived. It all began at 6 a.m. in the morning with a sunrise service around a bonfire. I wonder which part of the Easter story most hooks you. From year to year as I get older, I find it's the resurrection more and more that stands out as the single most fascinating and powerful part of the story. In fact, as the most fascinating, powerful and life-changing moment in the history of the whole wide world. Think about it for a moment. Evangelical and Catholic Christians focus generally on the cross. And why not? It's the moment when Jesus lays down his life on our behalf. Liberal Christians focus on the incarnation, and let's face it, without the incarnation, none of the Easter story would happen. And charismatic Christians focus on Pentecost. They quite rightly point out that without the Holy Spirit, our faith will lack power and our lives will bear very little real kingdom fruit. But for me, more and more, it's the resurrection that makes sense of all those other moments. The incarnation, with no death and resurrection, would leave Jesus simply a good teacher and some real questions as to whether he really was the Son of God at all. The cross without the resurrection, and we'd have to take it on word that Jesus' death dealt with our sin. Pentecost, if it had happened without the resurrection, would take some explaining. Whereas the risen Jesus, by promising to send his Holy Spirit, points us to the deep reality of Pentecost and assures us of its power and its glory. In fact, it's the resurrection that makes sense of simply everything. So today, as we read of the events 1 week on from Jesus being raised from the dead, and we see in John 20, these disciples, what we see is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. These first followers model for us life with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And what we see is really simple, but it's mind-blowing stuff. Lives that this year would speak life to millions across the globe as we stagger, hopefully, away from the worst of COVID-19. These followers of Jesus in John 20 are full of joy. They are full of purpose. And they are full of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, they were overjoyed on seeing the Lord. Some versions say they rejoiced, but I prefer the translation, they were overjoyed. They were overjoyed at seeing the risen Jesus. If they were overjoyed, then they were clearly full of joy in order to overflow with it. But what exactly is joy? Joy is the assurance that all is well. Joy is the contented, deep-down assurance that Jesus died for our sins and we truly are forgiven. Teilhard de Chardin says that joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God in a person's life. Verse 21, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. From that day forwards, the friends and followers of Jesus have been full of purpose. A purpose worked out in the growth of the church, to the point that today, not just 12 men and a few women who followed Jesus for 3 years, but 2 billion of the world's population claim to be followers of Jesus. Verse 22. And with that, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The rest of the New Testament from the end of the four Gospels is a revelation to us of what happens when followers of Jesus are full of the Holy Spirit. Fishermen become preachers. Christians have supernatural heavenly powers. The church grows. The church shares with and cares for all its members. And people come to put their faith in Jesus Christ. So as the last of the lamb is eaten in sandwiches, yep, this sermon was written on Wednesday, and the final chocolate eggs slowly disappear, and the world emerges from a year-long season of Lent into the joy of spring, the release of lockdown and the joy of Eastertide, I think this passage, I think God himself through this passage in John chapter 20, is calling to each and every one of Jesus' followers. Be Easter people. The world needs you. Be an Easter church. It's the only real way to be the church. Be resurrection people and a resurrection church. In short, be people who are full of joy, full of purpose, and full of the Holy Spirit. What would that look like? I think that would look like St. Peter's de Beauvoir Town growing as a church. Because if whenever people who come through the door, as well as discovering lovely music and lovely people, they meet people full of gospel joy, the gospel joy of assurance and holy contentment, that the risen Jesus really is Lord of their lives, it would impact them like nothing else. If they met people when they come through the church doors who are full of purpose, wanting them, the visitors, to come to know the love of God in Jesus, just as the 2030 London Diocesan Vision suggests, for every Londoner to encounter the love of God in Jesus Christ, it would make a difference. Thirdly, what if they came through the door and they found people literally brimming over with the Holy Spirit? Keen to pray with them, to tell them how Jesus has changed their own lives, and keen to point them towards their own experience of eternal life. An Easter church, empowered by the resurrection, is a hungry church, hungry to see the glory of God in N1. As I was writing this sermon on Wednesday morning, my phone flashed with a WhatsApp message from Adrian, as he was about to go into the clinic for his chemotherapy. The next 10 minutes or so, it flashed continually as the people in that WhatsApp group sent Adrian Bible verses, assured him of their prayers, sent him their love. It was deeply encouraging for all of us in the group, for every one of those messages came from people deeply convicted by the resurrection. Resurrection people, in the face of cancer, declaring God's love and his power, a love and power seen nowhere more clearly than in the empty tomb of Easter Sunday. The resurrection. After a whole chapter of his first letter to the Corinthians, where Paul has theologically reflected on the reality of the resurrection, he finishes in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 28 with these words. Therefore, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. So Paul is saying, because of the resurrection and nothing else, stand firm in your faith and give yourselves fully to the purpose that Jesus, the risen one, has laid upon us all. Full of joy, full of purpose, and full of the Holy Spirit, stand firm in your resurrection faith. Amen. Let me pray for you. I'd love to pray for you. Lord Jesus, would you pour again your Holy Spirit upon the good people of St. Peter's? Would you fill them with the joy of the resurrection? Would you inspire them with the same purpose that you set before your very first disciples, that we might change the world with the good news of your resurrection? And would you fill each and every one of us today with your Holy Spirit, that we might be brimming over with the presence of the Lord Jesus in our own personal lives? Amen.